Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined, as always, by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. The Mike Tomlin Weekly News Conference is just seconds old. And, okay, here we go. Cameron Hayward will start at defensive end over Ziggy Hood. Mike Tomlin's explanation, reasoning, whatever, he said we wanted to make sure Cam got more snaps, and so we're putting him in the starting lineup.
That's one way to do it.
That's one way to do it. Just, you know, statistically, Hayward is second on the entire defense, pressures with nine behind Brett Kiesel's 13. He has also batted down two passes at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, if you can extrapolate those numbers according to the snaps that he has had over more snaps and more production, who knows, maybe the defensive line will get a sack here before Halloween.
Or, I shouldn't say or, but as an aside to that, the top two guys in quarterback pressures are defensive linemen.
Right, right.
I would like to see some linebacker representation on that list.
Yes, yes. Kelvin Beachum listed as the number one left tackle, and I think that because of that, he is who will start at the position against the New York Football Jets. But you wrote down some interesting Mike Tomlin descriptions of the latest acquisition, Levi Brown.
He was called by Coach Tomlin, quote, maybe a critical acquisition. His presence is needed and valued.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with, you know, his presence is needed and valued. You had to get Mike Adams out of the lineup. And without adding someone, you're only an injury away. You know, at this point, you can still – Adams is third team now. So you're not necessarily having to face a situation where you go into a game and he's one play away from being back on the field, because I think he needs to step away for a while, get it together. So the needed and valued thing, to me, that's why he is needed and valued. I cannot speak for Mike Tomlin. What was the other thing?
Critical acquisition.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well,
Maybe a critical acquisition, which also means maybe not.
Maybe not. Right.
That's the way it goes with maybe.
You know, truly, as more and more of this comes out, it was a no-brainer. I mean, you bring the guy in, the guy you ended up cutting, Isaiah Green. You know, he was a 11th defensive back, marginal 53rd player. Back and forth from the practice squad. I think if you want to put him back on your practice squad, that will not be an issue. You didn't have to give up anything for Levi Brown. He's making the minimum. The conditions on this draft pick, I don't know. I didn't actually see the contract, but and this is
– He's going to have to solve the government shutdown before the Steelers owe anything.
And be the Super Bowl MVP. Both of those things.
Which one of those do you think will be easier achieved? Or more easily achieved, I should say.
At this point, I'd have to flip a coin on that one. You bring him here, why not? Ramon Foster, to me, that situation, we'll have to continue to keep an eye on that.
And that's probably, if Foster can't go, then Beecham's going to end up playing left guard, correct? And you might see Levi Brown at tackle. That's how I speculate that out.
Maybe it's Whimper at left guard, though, too. I'm not necessarily excited about that, but that would be your other option. I think that this team perceives Whimper as a guard. His days of playing tackle would be limited to emergencies. And, I'm not – claiming that any of these guys are going to make anyone forget the seven blocks of granite. But we'll see how it works out.
I'm curious to see how Levi Brown works out. I'm not endorsing one path or the other. I just don't know. But the one thing I do know is he's played a lot of football in this league.
Yes. Yeah, and if he was really, truly that awful, I don't remember him being an issue in Super Bowl 43.
I think his biggest problem in Arizona was they picked him instead of Adrian Peterson.
Well, and that's not his fault.
No, but that's that guy is there on your team, and the other guy is doing what he does, which
it's like that birthmark on the end of your nose
the league awards.
That you have to look at look at yourself in the mirror all the time and say, "Whoa, God!"
Maybe just needed a little change of scenery, or maybe a change of scenery will be beneficial.
Well, and you know, again, I just you cannot have what the Steelers had at left tackle in Wembley Stadium. You cannot have that. The Jets, we were talking about this before we...
Yeah, we have to amend yesterday's Talking Steelers podcast, don't we? At least I do.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. The Jets shocked the heck out of me last night against the Falcons. The manner in which they played was efficient, poised, everything that you do not associate.
For the most part. They had their Jets moments.
Well, but they overcame them, those Jets moments, which, you know, is... It's okay to have Jets moments if you can overcome them, I think, because – but anyway.
Well, yesterday I said I didn't think that much of them, and I was basing that mostly on Geno Smith having turned the ball over 11 times in his first four games and looking like a rookie quarterback who was in temporarily at least over his head. Man, he was on time and on target last night.
The one thing that I did hear from one of the talking heads – and I cannot remember which one, if it was Gruden or one of the ex-quarterbacks in the post game, but they expressed a little bit of surprise that the Falcons did not attack him more. And they played more soft coverage and prevent kind of defense. Maybe they figured he's going to throw us the ball a bunch of times, so we'll just have as many people back there to catch it as possible. You know, maybe the key to Geno Smith is he's like Vinny Testaverde used to be. If you give him time, he can stand back there and find the open guy. If you make him sweat it a little bit, that's when you know.
That's when he finds Darren Perry.
That's when he finds Darren Perry a bunch of times and buys him a very nice new big house.
But boy, their D line got off the ball too. That was impressive. The penetration they got on running downs, and then the jailbreak. Everybody standing up, overloading one side. We've seen that from Baltimore. We've seen that a little bit from the Steelers. It's one of those. Things that aggressive defenses like to do. It looked to me like the Jets like to sit back on the early downs, but if it's third down or you get them backed up near their own goal line, they are coming, and it could be anybody from anywhere, and they're not bad at it.
Yeah, the thing about this weekend of the NFL starting last Thursday, Browns, Bills ending last night, Jets, Falcons, a lot of teams with which the Steelers are going to have to contend look like they have made some significant improvements. This team is going to have to do that as well, or this losing streak will not end. That'll do it for this edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.